By the 1990s, the Forestry Commission had all but petered out as an employer in the village. Their offices were closed. Only two other bungalows were occupied. The village hall and snooker room closed. The church had long since closed, and the playground became overgrown and derelict. However, a new industry was fast taking over, tourism. Now, at the beginning of the 21st century, the tourist industry is emerging as a major influence on the earnings and opportunities in the area. This trend of catering for the needs of visitors and tourists as a means of earning a living looks set to continue into the foreseeable future. There are even attempts being made to persuade the Forestry Commission to convert the camp into some kind of visitor centre. After two centuries of showing its adaptability to change, who knows what the people of this chameleon-like village of Escargelio Kainos will have to embrace next. Plas Rhyw Groeddyn was occupied in 1718 by church warden David Evans, his wife Elizabeth and daughter Catherine. In the 1840s, John and Susanna Peters, with their four children, Susanna, Anne, Elizabeth and John, lived here. David and Eleanor Edwards were there with six children, William, Mary, Jane, Eleanor, Thomas and Richard, in the 1870s. By the 1880s, it was occupied by widow Anne Lewis with her four children, James, John, Susanna and Mary. 10 years later, Hugh and Jane Jones were living there. Captain David Williams and his family moved to Plas Rhyw Groeddyn in January 1931. He had four children, Tom of Anway, Octavia and Irene. Irene stayed on at the Plas after her parents died until the end of the century. She now lives with Sally Roberts in a new house built on land that was part of the Rhyw Groeddyn estate called Patchin. Sally has lived at the Plas with Irene since 1973 and has taught many people living in Escargeiliog who attended Ysgol Brodyfi High School in Machynlleth. Irene had an art gallery called Yr Oriel Fach at Rhyw Groeddyn. She painted and exhibited all over Britain and parts of Europe. She particularly likes Switzerland and Bavaria, where she finds the landscape has much in common with her native Wales. Sometimes she paints marine subjects, the small harbours and coves of Anglesey and Cardiganshire, near her home, Aberdyfi and Borth. Her work has been seen in many prestigious exhibitions, the National Eisteddfod of Wales, the Laing Exhibition, the Marine Artists, to name but a few. Also many galleries have shown her paintings, the Commonwealth Institute, in Wales, the National Library of Wales, Aberystwyth. When not painting for exhibitions and galleries, she designs greeting cards, prints and works on book illustrations. The cards are sold all over Britain. Memories of Captain Williams by Kenneth Rowlands. Near the end of the Second World War, when Ken was a young teenager, he ran away to Liverpool to try to join the Merchant Navy. He jumped on a train at Machynlleth and managed to get all the way to Liverpool station without paying his fare or getting caught or turned back. However, almost as soon as he arrived in Lime Street station, he was in a waiting room and suddenly everyone started to dive underneath the tables and counters. Not wishing to draw attention to himself, he did the same, although he was not really sure what was going on. Then after a short wait, he started to hear the sound of bombs dropping on the city. The next morning, after surviving the previous night's bombing raid, he walked down to the Merchant Navy recruiting pool and presented himself to the recruitment officer, a commander in the Merchant Navy. Ken asked him if he had a vacancy for a cabin boy. The officer asked to see Ken's national insurance card and asked how old he was. "I'm 17," replied Ken, which he was not. "Well," said the officer, "I think you had better go home now and come back when you're a bit older. Then I will be in a position to offer you a job." By the time he had walked out of the building, Ken found two policemen waiting for him. They escorted him to the railway station and put him on a train back to Machynlleth. When he arrived back at Machynlleth, his uncle Evans from Bryndillas and police sergeant Davies were waiting for him to take him home. Later on, Captain Williams, who lived in Plas Rhyw Graiddin, advised Ken to join the Royal Navy. So Ken wrote off for the necessary papers, passed the entrance exam and was all ready to join. However, his mother refused to sign the consent form. She already had a husband away fighting in the army, did not want to risk losing both him and her only son. By the time Ken was old enough to join up without consent, the war was over and his father was home safe. During Ken's teenage years, he used to look forward to the arrival home on leave of Captain Williams. The captain had been in the Merchant Navy since he started out on sailing ships. He had taken a shine to Ken and would tell him tales and show him how to perform shipboard tasks, like how to make a hammock, how to jump into it without falling out the other side, and all manner of things to fire a boy's imagination. The captain had installed a water power turbine generator in the river below the Plas, using new DC turbines. The remains of the pipework and the watercourse to it can still be seen, although the tin shed has now gone. This generator supplied DC electricity to the Plas and to some other houses in the village between the wars. Tom Rowlands, as Ken's father, blasted the rock in the riverbank to make the channel to carry the water to the turbines. When the captain was home on leave and Ken saw him going down to the turbine shed to do some maintenance work or clear leaves and rubbish from the intake channel, he would hurry down to help him. This help would invariably include steering the conversation round to the sea, knowing that once he got the captain going on that subject, the fun would start. Much more fun than a pile of old leaves, anyway. One of Ken's favourite games there was learning how to steer and dock a ship. His job was to man the ship's wheel. In reality, the big wheel that wound the sluice gate up and down at the end of the water intake. The captain would be on the bridge, that's the big tin shed over the turbines, and the captain would shout orders, like so many degrees to port or starboard. Ken would respond by spinning the big wheel so many turns left or right. Of course, while they were having great fun, the sluice gate was going up and down like a yo-yo. This in turn was causing the turbines to rev up and slow down, along with the voltage going up the line to all the houses connected to it. Sometimes when they were up, the currents would surge so much that light bulbs would start exploding. This was when Mrs. Williams up at the Plas would shout, "That's it," and march down to the turbine shed and put the whole crew on a charge, thus ending that day's voyage. During the war, Captain Williams commanded a ship in the North Atlantic on what were known as the Russian convoys. During this time, he earned an OBE for services in the Atlantic and a Brave Conduct Medal for sinking a German U-boat in the same area. Later he fell ill and was taken to a US military hospital and from there transported home on the Queen Mary. He died 3 years later on May 1948, the direct result of the war. In his short retirement, he continued to look after the old turbines. One day, while struggling to clear the intake channel, he slipped and fell in. Luckily, young Ken, as ever, was not far away and managed to pull him out. After the captain's death, Edward Evans of Bryndillas and later Lewis John Rowlands helped to maintain and keep the turbines going.